there's a, you know, we are always trying to polish and polish, and it was our preview performance. Tonight is kind of official opening night.
Ah.
And so we were very happy with the results, and the audience reaction was terrific.
Now, did the band watch it too, or?
They're coming to tonight. Two of them are coming tonight.
Oh, wow.
And one of them may be also joining us in Edmonton. And so they're going to be there. So that's why we're all a bit extra excited, because it's important.
I thought you were going to say that they're going to join stage or be on the stage with the performers, but I guess not. Are they going to be dancing?
No, most of the singer-songwriters, well, you know, they don't perform live, but they also don't want to upstage the dancers. They want to give them all that space for themselves, which is a good thing.
That's a really good thing. So how did this idea come about, and how long have you been working on this?
It started, you know, it's interesting because we've worked with five singer-songwriters now: Elton John, Katie Lang, Sarah McLachlan, Gordon Lightfoot, and Joni Mitchell. Mm. This is the first time we're doing a band. And most times, you know, every time we get a singer who agrees to participate, there are many who say no. But having a close connection to the musicians in one way or another is always very helpful. And we had someone close to the ballet who was, we never found out which musician, but who was very close to the musicians in the band. And they asked them if they'd be interested in a project like this one, and we heard immediately that they were very excited about it. I think that with all the singer-songwriters, we've had different approaches, which is why we tried to keep them looking very different from each other. And usually it's in the music and the lyrics and the history of the musicians that we find our ideas and what they sang about and what they want not to represent, but what was important to them in their artistic process.
Mm.
And so with this band, you know, it was an interesting time when I found out that they gave us permission to create a ballet and that they were supporting it. There was a lot going on. Gord Downie was announced his cancer, and you had Donald Trump running for elections. And so you had this really bipolar thing going on with this final tour of the Hip across Canada, which was like a huge love-in and a celebration of inclusivity, Indigenous rights, equality, caring, compassion. And then you were watching this other rhetoric coming out of the United States, which is about intolerance and hate and fear, greed, inequality. And the two contrasting moments in history for me was something that really inspired me to imagine this ballet, because it's really a dystopian narrative set in a post-apocalyptic world where two clans are fighting. One is the descendants of compassion and community, while the others are descendants of fear and bullying and brutality. And they're going to fight to the end, and the ones who win will inherit the earth and hopefully reboot the planet with a better vision. And so it was watching just the, you know, world affairs and the Me Too movement, which was taking birth, and understanding how socially invested Gord Downie was and the Hip in all, not just as artists, but as social activists, that inspired me to go in this direction.
Wow. There's so much going on, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. We try, you know, it would be so easy to take Elton John and dance around a crocodile rock and have fun and sell tickets, but we really try to go deeper in the in the ethos of the artists and why they write music, because we started with Joni Mitchell, and she was quite a teacher, because we talked a lot about, you know, what they want their music to achieve and what their concepts of their art is and how it relates to life. It's a more philosophical approach, and the musicians like that. And that's why I think they come and see it, because they're very interested in seeing what 28 world-class dancers and five incredible designers can come up with. It's very exciting for them.
Yeah, and you're saying too, like, their music runs the gamut in regards to those issues. And it's, well, you got 20 songs in this
20 songs. And when I start thinking of a script or a scenario or a concept, sometimes it's more abstract, like as with Gordon Lightfoot. But with this band, I really had a narrative, and it was a story that needed songs that had lyrics that supported the narrative. So many of the big hits didn't make it because they didn't relate to the story we were creating. But obviously, as his songs are so eclectic, and his voice goes from the most tender compassion to the most violent scream of intolerance to world situation, you know, his voice has this incredible theatrical range. We knew that we needed about 20 songs to create the ballet, and I had at the beginning almost 80 songs that I could have used and that were appropriate, but we whittled it down so that it didn't become a four-hour ballet with three intermissions.
Well, and it seems like the Tragically Hip, they're very protective in regards to what they choose and for, you know, with their music, but that must have been an honor to receive that.
Well, they were honored, and they said so, and we were honored, of course, to have the privilege of creating this portrait of their music. And since Gord Downie's passing, it's even more intense, the pressure on us, and to get it right, you know. And it's what's interesting, I think, and I saw that with other singer-songwriters, is that they've never been asked to do something like this. They've done the Junos and the Grammys, and they sang at the Oscars or at the Olympics. But the idea of a ballet and a contemporary ballet is something they've never thought about. And that's why I think some of them are so interested and curious. And that's what really attracted Joni Mitchell and even Elton John, who was so excited about a ballet company creating a ballet to his music. And so they're all very cultured people, and they all have great respect for other art forms. Katie Lang now comes to the shows almost all the time when she's in town. And so it's become a really wonderful relationship. And for us, it's really about pushing the aesthetic, taking risks and trying to create something that people don't expect to see to some of this music, because we know what the hip represents to Canadians. And so I have to go in a different direction. And I hope that when people see the ballet, they feel that it's still part of the ethos of the Tragically Hip and what they represent in the music industry.
Hmm. And that means that you're going to have a quite the audience, too, of all different ranges and basically all different – they're coming from all different parts of the
– Doesn't that sound wonderful for a ballet, doesn't it? And it's true. Last night we had our preview performance, and it was a very eclectic audience, just like we'd seen with Joni and Elton. And what's interesting is that they're all ages, all demographics, and there's a lot of them who come to see a dance performance for the very first time. And that's important to us because it really is the challenge of the fine arts, the performing arts, to bring in new audiences, more diverse audiences. And these ballets have become somewhat like portals, like the Nutcracker is for children, to new audiences. And then we've seen that many of them come back and want to see more of it, because dance is such a special experience. It's not something you can see every day. You can hear music. You can hear words, spoken words. But to see the body in movement in a very dramatic and athletic way to some of our favorite songs gives the people quite an exciting experience.
John, are you already making a wish list of what's next in regards to the contemporary music going into the ballet or any bands?
We do have a wish list, and people we've been approaching, some for years, and we're still in negotiations. And it's interesting because Leonard Cohen was certainly one I wanted to work with, but Les Ballets Jazz de Montréal have exclusivity now on his music for dance. But we were lucky enough to be able to book them in our season next year, so we will be bringing in the Cohen portrait. I would love to work with the music of John Lennon, and specifically about the content of his music and the world today. I think there's some relevancy there to listen to him again and to his words, his wise words. And in the Canadian singer-songwriters, there's so many more that we could be working with, and we have the connections now. And as we approach them, they've heard of our series, so they're very – it's like we're becoming the Philip Karsh of ballet. They want to have their portrait taken. And this is an honor for us, because I can tell you, working with people like Joni Mitchell and all these extraordinary artists has been a privilege for me, and I consider them to be as important to Canadian culture as – Glenn Gould or any other musician in the classical idiom. These people are extraordinary artists, and that's why they've lasted the decades. We always work with singers who've made a strong impression for many, many years.